Hey everyone, welcome to Talk That Talk podcast. I'm your host Brittany, and I'm so glad you're here. Everyone has a story, and everyone's story matters. Join me as I talk on the real each week with my guests and share their stories in order to bring you hope, encouragement, and inspiration. Hey y'all, you are listening to episode 4 today of the Talk That Talk podcast. I just want to say thank you so much for those of you who have been tuning in each time that episodes have been released. I have not been doing a good job at releasing one a week, but I'm trying to get better at that so that you guys can count on, you know, an episode coming out each week. But I just, really again wanted to thank you all for listening, for tuning in, for hearing the stories that I believe need to be shared. I couldn't be more thankful for you tuning in, because this is a dream of mine. This is a passion of mine. I think stories change the world. And I think when we are willing to tell our stories, it truly does do incredible things in the lives of others, because it gives others the freedom to step out of the darkness, to release their shame, to come to the Lord as they are and know that they don't have to clean themselves up. And if you're listening and you are one of those people who feels like you're too messy, or you're too broken, or you have too much baggage, you've done too many bad things, whatever the case may be, if you feel like you're not good enough, it's just not true. I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there that Jesus Christ is this judgmental person, and that you have to be good in order to have a relationship with him, that you have to be a good person. And the truth is that the reason Jesus came to die for us was because none of us are good people. And we can look like we have it all together, but deep down we're all broken people. We all have mistakes. We all have sin in our lives. We all have pain that we carry. And we're all looking for the same things. We're all looking for love and purpose and comfort and friendship and joy. And I believe that we can find all of those things to the fullest extent in a relationship with God. And so that's the reason why I started this podcast, was because I wanted to encourage everyone and anyone. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in your life. I know that this podcast, you will hear a lot about Jesus and God, because that's the bedrock of my life. And a lot of my guests will share that as well. But I want you to know that you do not have to be a Christian to listen to this podcast. In fact, I would love for those of you out there who are unsure, or maybe really, you know, are shut out to the idea of God, that you would take a listen and hear the stories of these real people who have had their lives changed by a relationship with Christ. But I want you to know that whether or not you are in a relationship with God or not, or whether you believe in God or not, or whether you're unsure, or whether you believe in a different God, you are welcome here. You are loved here, and I want you to know that. I really, really want you to know that. So I talk a lot about being vulnerable and what being vulnerable does, and how good it is to be vulnerable, and how, like I said, when we share our stories, we give others the freedom to share their stories and to come out of the darkness and release some of those chains of guilt or shame or fear, maybe, and allow healing to come in. And so instead of just asking my guests to come on the show and be vulnerable and share their stories, I wanted to share my story with you guys. And I want to commend my first three guests, my mom, Kayla, and Quinn, for going first and for sharing their stories and being real and really just being honest about a lot of pain in their lives. I wanted to go next so that you guys know that you can share your stories, and there's nothing that's too bad to share with the Lord. So to give you my story, here we go. I guess I'll start out. My story starts, I think I tend to go back to when I was 10 years old. I was living with my brother, my mom, and my dad. We lived on a naval base in Virginia, and my parents got divorced when I was 10. They had been separated before for about a year, but this time it was real. They were getting a divorce, and I was always kind of an angry child. I don't really know where that came from, but growing up, I was always just angry. I was really mean to my brother. I was really jealous a lot and hungry for attention. And I just remember always acting in ways that were disrespectful to my mom or, you know, my dad or my brother, and being mean and then thinking in my head, like, why am I acting this way? But I felt like I had no control over the way I was acting. I just kind of felt like, well, this is me. I'm bad. I'm the angry girl. I'm, you know, that's just who I am. And so when my parents got divorced, that only got worse, I think, for a while. I remember my mom and my brother and I moved to a different house across town, and we saw my dad every weekend or every other weekend or so, and that was the Riverview house, and I remember that house so well. It was this old house. It really, looking back, was a beautiful house, but it just signified to me a really, really dark place in my life, and I just was really angry. I was angry about the divorce. I hated the way I looked. I hated who I was. I hated where my life was. And I just kind of withdrew into myself and took my anger out on those around me for a long time. And gosh, bless my mom. Like, I cannot imagine raising someone like me, because I was a lot to handle. So that kind of went on for a while. And eventually, my mom, my brother, and I moved back to Indiana, Pennsylvania, where a lot of my family is from. Like, really everyone is from Indiana. So we moved back to Indiana to be closer to family, and my dad ended up getting remarried and moved to Maryland and then eventually San Diego. And so we're back in Pennsylvania. I was going into my eighth grade year when we moved back to Pennsylvania, and that was a really hard time for me, moving from a place where I had great friends in my middle school. We just all loved each other really well. A lot of us were from military families, or we were from broken homes, and so we could all really relate to each other. And then I moved to Indiana, and it's a small town, and so people there had grown up with each other. You know, they had been friends since like kindergarten, and here I was very different than most people I went to school with, and I had a hard time fitting in at first. But eventually made friends, and things started to become a little bit more normal, and started to look up a little bit. My mom got remarried to my amazing stepdad, Jason, who I love dearly, and we gained my younger sister, Olivia, and my two younger stepbrothers, Brandon and Tyler. And with my dad, I gained three more siblings: my stepbrother Aiden, my half-sister Brianna, and my younger half-brother Brody. I love all my siblings. I don't see them as, you know, I don't see like, oh, well, Andrew's my full sibling and these are my half-siblings and then they're my step-siblings. They're my brothers and sisters, and I love each and every one of them very, very much. So life kind of started to look up a little bit in those years. I was still in junior high, and this was when I think I really started to look for life. And growing up, I always had these big questions hanging over my head. You know, I remember being 12 years old and saying to myself late at night, like, why am I here? I remember laying awake in bed at night and asking myself those questions. Why am I here? Who am I? Like, I had this theory that I just was lucky to be born, that there were like these soul bubbles, I called them. And if you were lucky, your soul got to be born, and if you weren't, you just didn't. You just kind of hung out in space or something. I don't know. This is my theory as a 12-year-old kid. But I did not think that my life was intentional, that I was created intentionally. I thought, I'm just here by chance, and I don't know who I am. I don't know what my purpose is. I knew that I was missing something. I mean, my entire life, I knew that something was missing, and I thought for a while it was a good home, you know, situation. And then when I got that, I realized, no, something's still missing. You know, I had my home life was really great heading into high school. My mom and Jason were happily married, very in love, and Jason was really, really kind to me and my brother, and I felt safe, and we had a nice new house, and it was good, but I still felt like something was missing. And so then I thought, well, maybe it's, you know, popularity and having friends. And so I tried really hard to be friends with certain people in my school, and eventually became friends with them and realized, no, something's still missing. And so I thought, maybe it's a boyfriend or attention or looking a certain way. And I pursued all of these things. Maybe it's partying and having fun. I mean, I did all of those things. I tried really hard at each and every one of them to find life in them. I thought, okay, I'm going to go for this thing. I'm going to go for that thing, hoping that something would fulfill me and satisfy my heart and fill that hole that I was extremely aware of. And nothing did. Nothing did. Time and time again, I was left either disappointed or at worst devastated. And I gave a lot of myself to a lot of not great things, and made a lot of mistakes and hurt a lot of people and was hurt a lot. And it was rough. So fast forward to my senior year of high school, I meet Kevin and Kayla Warnick. And if you listen to the second episode with Kayla, you heard a little bit about this, but Kevin and Kayla moved to Indiana, Pennsylvania to start Young Life. And for those of you who don't know, Young Life is a nonprofit Christian outreach organization that strives to build relationships with adolescents and introduce them to Jesus Christ and then help them grow in their faith. And they do that by building relationships, by going to where kids are. Instead of waiting for kids to show up to their event or in their building, they go to the school, they go to sports games, they go to coffee shops, they go and meet kids and love them with the hopes of earning the right to tell them about God's love for them. So anyway, this is what Kevin and Kayla did in my life. They showed up to my school. They showed up in my life, and they began to love me in a way that no friend had ever loved me. They listened to what I had to say. They asked me real questions, and they genuinely wanted to know the answer. And I found myself asking them those questions about, hey, why am I here? What is my purpose? And they told me that they had the answer, and they said, it's a relationship with God. And it wasn't like I woke up one day and was like, you know what, I'm missing a relationship with Jesus, and I'm just going to go really hard after God and after this whole Christianity thing. It wasn't that at all. It was people showed up in my life and started to love me, and they invited me into this adventure. And I thought, well, I've tried everything else. I've tried dating guys. I've tried, you know, looking a certain way. I've tried being popular. I've tried partying. I've tried finding my identity in school and in my home life and my performance, and nothing is working. And so I'll just give this a shot. I mean, really, it was that's what it was in my mind. And so I did. I went all in, and I started going to Young Life each week. I would go to Campaigners, which is a co-ed Bible study thing where any kid, no matter how much they know about God or don't know about God, if they just want to learn anything more about a relationship with Jesus, can come and ask questions. And Kevin and Kayla talked to me in a way that I could understand. You know, they talked to me about God in a way that made sense. It wasn't all these religious terminology words. It was plain in my language as a teenager. Hey, you're looking for life. This is where life is found, in a relationship with God. And they told me time and time again, we're going to love you no matter what your response to Jesus is, but we believe that this is what you're looking for. And so I tried it out. I got a Bible. I started reading my Bible, and I thought that the way you were supposed to read it was you're supposed to read like a whole book at a time. So I read like all of the book of Acts, and I was like, okay, this is kind of cool, I guess. And I just started journaling and praying and talking to Kayla about questions I had. And I mean, really, God just took hold of my life and started to draw me in, and I started to hear his gentle whispers of promises, and came to find that he is forgiving, and all the things that I had done in my life, I was forgiven for. And not only that, but I was made clean and I was made whole, and he offered me eternal life, and he offered me purpose. And I think that was the really big thing for me, was purpose. And something I love about Jesus is that he gives us purpose, and it's not to become, full-time minister, or it's not to do a certain job. It's literally, my purpose is to know God, to know him and to love him and to show others how much he loves them. And that has changed my life. I mean, I know why I'm here now, and that's amazing. I know what I was made for. I know why I was created, and it's to know Jesus and to love him and to let him love me and to hopefully be a source of that love in other people's lives. And so throughout the rest of my senior year, I tried to do the whole Christianity thing. I think I thought in my mind that I had to really like clean myself up and be a good person and stop drinking, stop partying, stop cussing, stop doing all these things in order to be acceptable to Jesus. And it wasn't until I went to Young Life Camp the summer after I graduated high school that I heard the gospel laid out in order, kind of like Quinn and I were talking about, in sequential order. And it made so much sense to me. I mean, I felt like the speaker was talking directly to me. After the crosstalk, one night at camp, we have this thing called the 20 minutes where you can go outside and the whole camp is silent. And I mean, there's 500 kids there and it's dead silent. And you can talk to God. You can just sit there in silence if you want. But I talked to God and I felt like he was there. I mean, I really felt his presence and his love. And I just remember I just had never felt that loved in my entire life. And I just felt like all the pain, all the things that happened to me leading up to that point happened to get me to that moment. And I said, all right, God, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm in this relationship with you, and I'm in for the long haul. And that was June 28th, 2012. And the next day at camp, I stood up in front of the whole camp and I said, hi, my name's Brittany, and I'm from Indiana, PA. And this week I gave my life to Jesus. And that was June 29th, 2012. And that was the day I look back as the beginning of my life. And that was over 6 years ago. Gosh, so much has happened in that 6 years. Right after that, I lost a friend to cancer, and I lost my great-grandmother, and I was heading into college. That was a whirlwind. And then my sophomore year of college, my best friends, Kevin and Kayla, they moved away. And that was when I felt like I really had to, like, that's where the rubber met the road kind of a thing. And I was like, okay, I don't have Kevin and Kayla to, you know, be right by my side anymore. Like, if I'm going to do this, I got to do it. And so I became a Young Life leader, and I had the privilege of telling high school girls about God's love for them. And I went through a pretty terrible breakup my junior year of college, and just really began to wrestle with my identity again, I think. And that was the first time that I felt like I really had a choice. Was I going to run away from God in the pain, or was I going to lean into him? And I ran away a lot more than I should have, than that I wanted to. But God showed up and he gave me so much healing from that. And I learned for the first time that a lot of times what feels like God is hurting us is really him healing us. And there's this picture that I always go back to. It's from a talk that Matt Chandler, who's a pastor, gave to the Young Life All-Staff Conference. My area director showed this video to us at leadership one night, and I will never forget that talk, because in it, Matt Chandler is talking about his daughter and how his daughter got bit by a spider. And the spider bite got infected, and unfortunately, they had to take his daughter to the hospital and lance this bite. And so, like, they had to, like, burn it off. So he's recounting this image of, he's in the hospital, his daughter's on the hospital bed, and him and a doctor have to literally pin her down on the table as she's crying and flailing around and pleading, for them to stop in order for the other doctor to lance off this bite. And it hurts, and she's scared, and it you know, from her perspective, it looks like my dad is hurting me. Like, holy crap, dad, why are you holding me down on this table? You're hurting me. But he said something along the lines of like, I had to hold her down. It had to hurt. I had to put her through pain in order for the wound to be healed. In order for her infection to go away, she had to endure the pain of lancing the bite off. And I hope that makes sense, but that really changed my perspective on some things with my relationship with God, because looking back, I can see so clearly what felt like God was hurting me in the moment was really his mercy, was really him getting to the deeper wound in order to heal it. And I pray that I remember that forever through whatever painful circumstance I end up going through. But anyway, so each year there was kind of a new struggle, I felt like. And heading into my senior year, it was definitely whether or not I should go on Young Life staff. And this was a dream of mine since I started leading Young Life and since I went to college. And that whole year, I just really wrestled with, am I good enough to go on staff? Am I a good enough Christian? Am I a good enough leader? Am I talented enough? I felt ashamed of my sin and of my baggage, and I just really felt like I wasn't good enough. But lo and behold, I ended up going on Young Life staff, and I know that God led me there to that point, and he brought me to State College, where I still am today. I was on Young Life staff for 2 years, and man, that was a whirlwind, and I learned so much in those 2 years. My first year on staff, I learned a lot about loneliness, and I learned a lot about letting God be enough for you, because he was really all I felt like I had in that moment. You know, I came to a place where no one really knew me, and I was new at this job, and I failed a lot, and I messed up a lot of things, and didn't love people as well as I probably could have or should have. And, you know, just was new and I sucked a lot of times. But I also gained so many good friends from being on staff and had so many incredible experiences and learned a lot about God's love for me. And, heading into my second year on staff, I went into a really deep depression in the fall. Started going to counseling, and I recommend counseling for everyone and anyone. I think that we all can learn something from counseling. I think that counseling is for everyone. It's good for everyone, no matter where you are in your life. I learned so much about me and like the thought patterns I had and how destructive they were, and learned that, I really do suffer from clinical depression and was able to get help through counseling and through medication. And in that time I really clung to the Lord, and that was encouraging for me, because going through the breakup I did in college, I didn't do that very well. I didn't cling to the Lord very well, and this time I felt like I did. I felt like I ran to him constantly, and I had this verse. It's my favorite verse, John 1:5, and it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And I had this image of a lighthouse in my mind, of a lighthouse shining light into a dark sea. And to me, that was like the symbol of hope. That was an image of hope for me, knowing that Jesus is the light and he has beat the darkness. And the darkness can never extinguish his light and his love. And as deep as I was into my depression, he was there in the midst of it, and there was light in it. And so I hope to talk a lot about that on this podcast, to just take away some of the stigma against mental health, and especially in the Christian community, because I think there's this lie that Christians tend to believe that, well, if you're a Christian and you believe in God, then you shouldn't be anxious. You shouldn't be depressed, because you should have hope and you should have joy in the Lord. And It's just not true. I mean, yes, we should have joy. We should have peace. The Lord does offer us those things, and he does offer us hope. But depression and anxiety and mental health it's a disease, just like a physical illness. There is something off in your brain that you do not have control over. And depression is pretty common in my family. Anxiety is common in my family, and I suffer from it. I want you to know out there, if you're someone who struggles with anxiety or depression, that God isn't saying, well, you just don't have enough faith, or you just don't believe enough, or, you know, if you really believed, you wouldn't be suffering from these things. I mean, that's just not true. And I really hope that you believe that and know that to be true. I could go on about this for days, but what I learned in this season was that Jesus feels our pain. He really is God with us. And I read this book called Spurgeon Sorrows. If you suffer from depression, or you know someone who suffers from depression, you should really read this book. It's called Spurgeon Sorrows. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. And it's about Charles Spurgeon, who's a Christian pastor and author. I don't remember when he was alive, but he's from a long time ago. And he suffered from clinical depression really, really badly. He suffered a lot of shame and guilt over some things in his life that happened. And based on his excerpts of sermons and his writings, this author put this book together and kind of gives really practical advice on how to walk through depression with Jesus. And man, what I learned about Jesus is that he suffered more than any of us could ever imagine. He felt the sorrow that I feel. His friends betrayed him. Everyone left him. No one believed in him. And most of all, like, he went through the suffering on the cross, but even more than the physical suffering, he experienced complete absence of everything good because God abandoned him and he was cut off from his Father. He was cut off from everything good for me so that you and I would not have to experience that. And I learned that the man of sorrows, he can relate to me and he is with me and he does not take joy in my suffering, but he is there with me and he knows what I'm feeling. He feels it with me. And so I love that about Jesus, and that has kept me in him through a lot of things. And so I'm in a really good place right now. I have really experienced a lot of healing, like I said, through counseling and through medication. And there's definitely times where I still struggle and I still feel that the fight is really hard to fight for joy and to fight for, you know, to get out of bed and to fight to spend time with the Lord, and to fight to take care of myself. It's not easy every day, but I have hope, and the light does shine in the darkness, and the darkness has not and will not overcome it. And so if you're in a place right now where you feel like you have no hope and there is no light, hang on. And please talk to someone, talk to a counselor, talk to a trusted friend who's not going to judge you, talk to someone who truly cares about you and will walk with you through the pain. Like Kayla was saying in her episode, we don't, you know, oftentimes when you're suffering really, really badly, you don't need more advice. You just need someone to be close to you and to walk with you through it. And I really want to be a friend that does that too for those of my loved ones who are suffering. So all that goes to say, there's so much, you know, more details in my story that I glossed over, but I am a really good example of how someone really does change by the transforming work of Christ, because I went from this really, really angry, self-centered person. If y'all knew me in high school, you would probably could contest that. I was just not a nice person a lot of the times. I was just not a great, not a great gal. But I was broken and I was lost. Didn't know my worth. I didn't know how much I was loved. And so after I began my relationship with Jesus, I really began to change. I mean, my heart really began to soften. I began to see people in a different lens. I started to see them with God's eyes, and I started to love people genuinely more, especially my family. I mean, my family just began to mean so much more to me, and I began to really, really treasure my siblings and my grandparents and my parents and my friends, and I really had a heart for girls like me who just didn't know how much they were worth and didn't know their purpose. And that's why I became a Young Life leader, was to hopefully just tell other younger girls that they are so loved and they are forgiven, and there is nothing that they have done that makes God love them less, and there's nothing that they can do that would make him love them more. And it's not like my life is perfect now. I definitely am still a sinner. I definitely still mess up. I am not always a good person. I'm not always nice. I definitely still have my shortcomings. So do not hear me say that, you know, I'm perfect now, but I am a different person. And, you know, old wounds still come up, and this same struggles are still there a lot of times, but like scripture says, I'm a new creation, and I know that God is with me, and I know that he's faithful, and I know that as many times as I run away, he will still be there with open arms, ready to receive me, ready to heal me, ready to take me back in and remind me of his goodness, remind me of his love, remind me of who I am, and that is his daughter. I hope that through listening to this podcast, you come to know the same is true about you, that when God looks at you, he sees his beautiful creation, and all he wants for you is not to clean yourself up, not to go to church, not to be a good Christian, not to be a good person, not to stop cussing. No, what he wants for you is to know him and to know his love and to let him fill that hole in your heart that maybe you are aware of or maybe you're not aware of. He wants to save you from all the disappointment that we face when we look for life and fulfillment in other things or other people. I truly believe that you will find what you're looking for if you just start to get to know him. And I would love to hear from you if you have questions about that, or you are someone who wants to explore that. I'd love to hear from you and just help you to get plugged into a community where you can have help alongside you. Church is a great place for that. If you're younger or in college, there are a ton of ministries that are great for that as well. So I feel like my story was all over the place. I feel like I jumped back and forth a lot. And again, there's a lot in there that I didn't cover, but I just wanted to let you guys know a little bit about me and my story so that you will feel the freedom to tell your story. And I'm sure that I'll get to share more with you down the road. But I'm so thankful for you guys tuning in again. And if you have questions or you want to be on the show or you have, you know, suggestions about things you want to hear, let me know. Email me at thetalkthattalkpodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to my newsletter on my website, talkthattalkpodcast.squarespace.com. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review, leave me a rating, and subscribe. This is the way that people will learn about my podcast, is through ratings and reviews and subscriptions. So if you like what you hear, that would be awesome. I would be so, so grateful for that. All right, guys. Well, thanks again for listening. This is Britt signing off, and we will be back with more next time. See you guys.